Well, hello and welcome again to another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching Ministry. This ministry and these Bible teachings are brought to you by the Wash and Word. That is the hand car washing business located in Churchill, Tennessee on Highway 11W. You can find us in the Powell Shopping Center. And while you're in the area, go ahead and flip to 107.1 FM and you can hear these messages playing over your FM radio. You can also join me live at Sunday nights, 6 p.m., at Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road in Churchill. And we do our verse-by-verse Bible teachings live there at 6 p.m. on Sunday nights. And if you have any questions about this business or this ministry, simply go to the washandword.com website. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you'll find information about this business and about this ministry. And so I invite you to come on by the Wash and Word. Allow us to work to earn the money that it takes to keep this ministry and these teachings going forth. We are a self-supported ministry. And the only thing we ask for ever is that you would just come and support us by allowing us to work diligently to earn the money that it takes. Just like Paul, we believe that the Word of God should never be peddled, but rather settled. And that's what our vision is. And so let's get back into our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We are in the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul is writing his letter to the 1 Corinthians church, which has gone askew, to say the least. And he's bringing forth these various, we'll call them shortcomings. And we want to make sure we don't look down upon this church, even though, of course, it's long gone and past. But we could look at this church or even other churches in our areas, and we could easily point to things that are going on within the walls of the churches that we are a part of or that we see in our areas. And it's easy to be judgmental. It's easy to point the finger. And, you know, looking at what Paul is addressing here, we could shake our heads at the Corinthian church and say, how could you, having begun in the Spirit, fall into such depths? Well, listen, friends, we are all perfectly capable on our own of falling from the heights of which Jesus has risen us up to. And so this is just the ever-present warning. That's what this letter is. It's a warning that should be ever-present before the churches, before each individual Christian, that we are not above falling into these traps. Listen, the devil is clever, and he knows how to secretly bring in these false teachings and these false guidance. It's a falseness that he brings in, and he does it with such subtlety that unless you are well versed in the Bible, you might fall victim to the wiles of the enemy. And this is exactly why we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching, because we firmly believe that it is the entire counsel of God's Word, all of Scripture, which will firmly place the believer on a foundation that allows he or she to be capable of not only identifying the enemy's attacks, but having tangible weapons to attack. And so this is where Paul is now in 1 Corinthians. We're in chapter 3, and we left off at verse 15, and Paul had just got through talking about the works that we will do as Christians. These are post-salvation works that he's talking about, and he's talking about them in a sense that they're not all going to be counted as worthy. You know that, right? You know that your flesh gets in the way of your service, of your motivation. It gets in the way of your heart. And sometimes we do things and we claim that it's for the Lord, and maybe we can deceive ourselves into believing it, but nothing will escape the judgmental fire that comes from Jesus' eyes on that day of our works judgment. And yes, do not be deceived. We will be judged on our works. And this is what Paul just finished saying in verse 15. He says, what we have will be judged, and if it's burned up, we might suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So this isn't about a salvation judgment. This is about a works judgment. And so Paul goes on in verse 16, chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. All right, that's the end of chapter 3, but let's talk about what Paul just wrote there. These are, I would call them summary verses. They're the end-all type of statements that Paul makes. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to talk about this anymore. And if you look back on we've only gone through three chapters, and he's already dealt extensively in the area of division and how the churches divide amongst themselves and within the bodies. We branch off into little cliques and we follow, you know, we idolize certain men and pastors. And so division was something that was very common then, very common now. And the other thing that he talked about several times already is wisdom of the world. And that, of course, is folly in God's sight. And so he's gone back and forth between this worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom and these divisions in the church. And I love the summary statements that he puts here. He says, at the end of chapter 3, whether you're Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours and you are in Christ and Christ is of God. He's saying, and prior to that, you know, you were the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you see what's happening here? He's encompassing everything. And he's closing the first part of his letter by settling the matter of division and of true wisdom. We might change the lyrics to the old little ditty, over the Jordan and to the goods, to our Father's house we go. We're going on to maturity. This is what Paul is saying. This is what we would call the fulfillment of sanctification, or at least heading in the right direction. You see, one day you and I will be perfected. We will be perfect. We will reach that goal. It won't be on this side of heaven, of course, but we will be sanctified fully when we are in our Father's house. And like Israel crossing the Jordan, there is a land of milk and honey that awaits us in our heavenly Jordan. There are promises and blessings, prosperity and joy and ministry and evangelism. All this takes place now, but we have a promise of glory that awaits us. And let me again remind you that this church in Corinth was in the midst of great wickedness. The influence of the world of that time was impacting that church instead of the other way around. You see, the church is supposed to impact the world, but the world has infiltrated the church. The church has compromised with the world in an effort to win souls, but it's actually weakened the power of the church. And Paul has to remind them, look, you're God's building. You are God's field. You are God's workers, fellow workers with me. And he says that building and that field was laid or plowed, as it were, if you use the field analogy. He says that it was done on a perfect foundation of Jesus Christ. That's what we talked about in our last message. And again, you can go to washandword.com to hear that. Or come by the Wash and Word parking lot and you can turn to 107.1. We play these messages on a loop. But he's saying that after the foundation was laid, the first layer of blocks or bricks that go on that foundation are very close, not equal to, but very close in importance to the entire building. So while the foundation is strong, if that first layer of brick or stone is laid and it is not sturdy, then the whole building will be laid upon a weak foundation, even though the foundation itself is strong. Paul says, look, Jesus is the foundation, the cross, the resurrection. Jesus laid that perfect foundation. That could never be askew. It could never be knocked off of its perfection. But then he goes, I and the other apostles laid the groundwork on top of that foundation. This is the first century teachings that we read throughout the New Testament. But what gets built on from there, that is what the age of grace is. See, the age of grace has been building upon that first block of stone laid upon the perfect foundation. This is where we have built our giant churches. And unfortunately, though the foundation will never be impure, we have built crooked walls to the churches in our society today. Now, this isn't to say that the church hasn't produced some great leaders throughout the centuries. You think about Martin Luther and Billy Graham and John Calvin and James Whitfield and John Wesley and Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Matt Monona, just to name a few. But this last section is about you and I obtaining and attaining the wonderful life that God has for each of us down here. If we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, put Jesus first in our lives, I want you to know that great blessings await. Now, there is a land flowing with milk and honey, just as Israel's had a promise across the Jordan. There is joy indescribable and peace unexplainable and life unimaginable. You may ask, where is this life? I'm a Christian. I don't experience all that. Maybe you've been looking around at your bank account or your marriage or your job or your families or your body, and you're thinking, this isn't the joy and indescribable milk and honey that I was promised. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe we're looking at the things of the world too much. We're looking at ourselves too much. Some of the most joyful and peaceful and fulfilled Christians that I've ever known are sick. They are unloved by their families or rejected by their families. So what gives? What's the difference? Is it because they've cared for their temples? No, Paul did address that in verse 16 and 17. But Paul's trying to remind us that we can't put our mind on the things of this earth or even of our bodies. Even though our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, they're going to fail at some point. And when we put ourselves in a position of looking at what's around us, instead of looking up at Jesus, by putting Him first and foremost, that's when we start to get askew in what we build. And so, I want to close with this. Regarding verse 16 to 23, there's a little ditty that I heard one time, and it goes like this. You've probably heard it. Pussycat, pussycat, where have you been? I've been to London to visit the Queen. Pussycat, pussycat, what did you there? I frightened a little mouse under the chair. Do you understand what that means? This cat went all the way to London to visit the Queen, and while he was there, all he ended up doing was get distracted by the one thing that distracts cats is a little mouse, and he chased the mouse under the chair. That's ridiculous. He went there to visit the Queen, and he got distracted by a mouse. Listen, we visit the King of Kings daily in our walk. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. How foolish would it be to go forth to the King and get distracted by something worldly, something as small as our bank account, something as little as our relationships? And in the grand scheme of things, none of that stuff matters. Listen, stop chasing little mice when your intentions are to go see the King. Take little steps now. Make little sacrifices. Little acts of maturity begin to grow into big sacrifices and large chunks of sanctification. We take small steps now, and before you know it, we look back and we've taken some large leaps. And that's what this is about, isn't it? It's about growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul's letters of instruction are futile and absolutely useless, downright drivel, if what we read goes in one ear and out the other. So friends, let us apply the truths of God's word, especially the truth that Paul is laying here in 1 Corinthians. The foundation of the first three chapters set the tone for the rest of this book. And I want to invite you back to more teachings. We come again tomorrow at 8:30 a.m. on WMCH 1260 Radio. You can hear us Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning. And again, come by the Wash and Word or go to the washandword.com website. We hope to see you at the car wash. Have a blessed day.